Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I don't know, I mean, I didn't think Jimble was that bad of a president. Way better than Mr. Frog, to be honest. Fucking Glep, man. And with me, I have...
How to piss off everyone. Xbox. That's it. That's all I have to say.
And...
How to succeed in your hip-hop beef. Not only this will be better than others, but have a chart higher than the ones you're fighting against.
Yeah, I suppose that's our first order of business here. As many were expected, Not Like Us is the number one song in the country.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention Euphoria is up number three, which... Okay.
You know, if you have to rely on shady PR tactics to, try to get one up on the beef, you've already lost. Like, even academics of all people are starting to go,
yeah,
I don't know, this is starting to get kind of bad.
Yeah. By the way, I know this isn't the most important thing, but y'all know academics' real first name is fucking Livingston?
Yep. I
only reason I knew that is because, I follow Dead End Hip Hop, and they picked up on some stuff that was being tweeted out by, like, possibly a burner account in relation to the beef. I take that with a grain of salt, though, but, like, really, Livingston? Livingston.
Yeah. Sire Livingston, yeah. Academics, the court gesture of Worcestershire. Yeah, that fits.
Yeah. I mean, I first knew about that when Deez and Mero were throwing shots at him back on the Viceland days.
The weird things you find out about sometimes, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, what else is there to say? Like, I still think the best summation of all this is the fact that we went from witnessing a murder with Meet the Grams to throwing it back at the funeral with Not Like Us.
Yeah, I think Kendrick's the equivalent of the one elephant, the one that killed the lady, and then went to the funeral to finish the job.
Goddamn, the elephant's got no chill. And neither does Kendrick.
Yep. And now it's doing good in both streaming and both you know, how good the songs are, and streaming wise, and everything else. It's like, he's basically beating Drake at his own game, and that's the best revenge, or the best, you know. Yeah, you get it.
Best served ice cold. But anyway, here we are with episode 350. So I suppose the first thing we should get out of the way, Alex, you feeling better?
Yes. I've been stuck in bed for a couple days, but yes, I am feeling better. I don't know what I got, but it knocked me out for a little while, but, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. I did not have a very eventful week for obvious reasons, being sick and all, but, yeah, I couldn't make it for the Thursday recording, but I did make it for the main show. I was not gonna miss that, even though I was, very, very ill. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta feast on the beef. But, Mark, what about you?
There, honestly, not really much has happened. It's just been like a normal last week. Just, yeah.
Alright, that's fair. As for me, well, let's see. So, over the weekend, met up with Mom for lunch for Mother's Day. 'Twas a nice time. I've been watching my roommate play the early access release of Hades 2. Slight spoiler, but the end boss of the second level is the Sirens playing in a rock band, which is really fun because, not gonna lie, they have like that 80s glam thing going on. I almost kind of want to see them touring with the Hex Girls. But yeah, that's all fun and such. Anything else? Not that I can really think of. Oh yeah, I did play a show over the weekend, not too far from the house, the usual spot. That was a fun time. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So with those formalities out of the way, time to move on to our usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes and market calendars for any new albums and all that fun stuff. So let's start right here at the top. So Val recently announced their newest studio album, Umbilical, is coming out literally at the end of the month, May 31st. We had the first single we talked about a while back, and now we have single number two here, Unbidden Guest. And now that we have two singles to compare, I'm definitely noticing that both of these songs have quite a bit more drive and momentum to them in comparison to, like, the usual slower, doomier dirges of their style. So it's got this really rhythmic groove with a steady driving tempo, while also kind of having, like, this bounciness to it. The piercing accentuation of the ride cymbal cutting through all the rest of the mix, you know, the buzzy tremolo guitar rhythms and all that fun stuff. Although you do eventually get like the louder parts, like the production swelling into walls of noise and just kind of vamping on similar ideas. But I'm interested to see how like this bigger picture is growing and what exactly happens when May 31st happens. But yeah, color me impressed.
A very nice touch having the video be filled with stock footage template shots. It fits surprisingly well with the abrasively aggressive riffs in the track. Just people looking at their phones, looking like it's just normal, and then this is playing. Like, people are going, y'all see this shit? I like this shit.
I gotta love those kinds of videos. But now moving on to the second track here. Oh, yeah, Biba Doobie exists. I almost forgot. When did we last talk about her? Was it really only like 2 years ago?
Kind of, yeah.
Like when that last album was, I think. God, it felt like it was longer. But anyway, so yeah, I guess she's got a new album coming out August 16th titled This Is How Tomorrow Moves. We have the lead single here, Take a Bite. And my immediate takeaway is that maybe this is just me, but listening to the chord progression kind of makes this sound like an indie rock cover of that one Incubus song, you know, Drive. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't really have any other observations. This just kind of sounds like pretty typical of Biba Doobie's stuff. She's just kind of there, I guess.
It exists. What more do you want?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's there. It's, yeah, I don't think it's terrible. It's like it's there. It's doing what it does, and okay, it's fine.
Honestly, it just kind of want to makes me kind of want to just listen to Drive again. That's a pretty good song. Back from the good old days when Incubus had relevance and dignity. But moving on to the next track here, so. Not too long ago, we had that Rico Nasty Boys Noize collab project thing, which I still have not listened to. But, of course, she's always one to be releasing stuff here and there. So we have a new one-off here called Bleach Brows. The producers we have in the chair for this one are ILY Kimchi. I assume I Love You Kimchi, that's probably how it's pronounced. And Cuckoo Chloe, I think? I should have double checked that pronunciation.
I have no idea what it means. Or I don't know what it is.
Anyway, for the track itself, the actual production has this weird kind of warped atonal aspect to it. You have this steady percussive groove with a lot of these weird kind of sci-fi synth melodies playing over top with a very hazy, strange feeling to it. Rico's lyrics are, of course, the usual in-your-face braggadocious attitude throughout. And while I can't say there's any particularly super memorable bars or anything, it's not bad. Like, her delivery helps carry things, especially with some of the ad-libs that honestly kind of sound like... They sound like Griselda ad-libs. Like, that's not just me, right?
I never really thought about that. I mean, I wonder if it was like, I could see it. I could see it. And now I'm thinking, I wonder what Griselda Rico Nasty Clap would sound like.
You know what? We got to put that out there in the ether. Rico Nasty, Griselda, whichever of your MCs you want to send, fucking West Side Gun, Conway, Boldy. Wait, is Boldy with Griselda?
I mean, somebody, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of lose track of who is and isn't, but you know what I mean.
It's like they're with them, or they fuck with each other, which you know Boldy does, you know.
Yeah, I don't really have much else to add. I mean, I thought it was all right. Now, let's move on to the next track here. So, as we all know, pop singer Charlie XCX is dropping a new album June 7th titled Brat. We talked about the single Von Dutch, but I guess we missed a couple others in the meantime. But now we have this one on the docket called 360, which probably explains why I missed the other two songs, because I actually tried to go back and listen to those, but then my computer somehow got the Red Ring of Death.
Oh.
See what I did there? God, remember when that was the worst thing to dent Microsoft's reputation? So quaint. But first of all, I should probably bring up the fact that if you're listening to this through like the actual music video, the song itself doesn't actually start until like a minute 45 seconds. So just kind of a lot of setup to get there. But once the song hits, honestly, I kind of like this like way more than the previous single. And I think a lot of that is because of the beat. It's got like a surprisingly catchy synth melody going on, like with this really bouncy, grooving tempo. It's actually, compared to whatever the hell was going on with like the club banger shit and Von Dutch, this one's way more tuneful. And for me, that actually kind of helps it like stick in the brain a lot more. Meanwhile, her vocals are pretty catchy, even if a lot of it is just kind of the usual like, oh, I'm hot shit, you know, the whole world surrounds me, I'm everywhere, 360, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? Credit where it's due. I can kind of vibe with this.
Yeah, I mean, this is more into like what we know from 2018. So, like, it is pretty much like something in a wheelhouse, considering that she got AG Cook do it, which is, you know, basically, yeah, that does work. Considering I think she's in the video too, which there's a lot of white girls in this video, or people, or white, yeah, in this video, which you have her, you got the one girl from Uncut Gems, the one that was fucking Adam Sandler, a bunch of other people that I don't know. That's all I got.
Okay, I'll be that guy. The production to me felt a bit baseline. Just there's not enough going on there. It's very, very synth beat heavy, but that's kind of all there is, and that just doesn't do a whole lot for me. So this is the progeny of a new subgenre of hot girl pop, because if this is how it's going to be produced, I don't know about it. I don't know if I want it like this or, you know, whatever. Also, very subtle Google product placement does not have any effect on me. An Apple bitch.
Yeah, how's that going, by the way?
How's that going?
Because apparently Apple's been in some shit recently over that fucking iPad commercial.
Oh my god, okay. It's not my fault people don't understand it was meant to be everything is a one little thing. Yeah, it was stupid, but, you know, whatever. We move on.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And since you mentioned it being a new genre of hot girl pop, well, it may not be his favorite, but it could be worse. It could be worse.
You know, that kind of sounds like a very strange segue. I mean, I don't know. Could it really be that much worse? Where are we on the docket, by the way? What's the next track here? Oh, God! Camila Cabello again. And it looks like apparently she really is getting ready for a new album rollout. Coming out June 28th. It's called C, XOX. Oh, my God. What is that title? Like,
she's trying to be cute, as in, you know, XOXO, that shit.
Like, yeah, it's just a new form of, I'm so crazy, lol XD. We lived through that once, so let's never go back to those days.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, I don't know, like, is, I feel like it's supposed to be slang for something. XOXO, is that like hugs and kisses or something?
Yeah. I mean, that's what people say in, you know, in messages, like, XOXO. Like,
I don't know, but because of the way my brain works, sometimes when I see that, I think, y'all remember that one Kuiper song, Tic-Tac-Toe?
Oh, yeah.
That was a thing.
Yeah. Nice sample, though.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah, and June 28th, we have the single Here He Knows, and...
And, well, guess what she brought in here now, and... oh, man, Lil Nas X?
Aw, man, we like you!
Okay, like, you went from Kevin Asher to here?
Yeah, gee, that's a... I don't know, maybe, like... Because I remember, like, you know, I thought J. Christ was solid, but that really underperformed expectations.
Yeah, which, that was a shame.
Yeah, especially since I think in the grand scheme of rap bangers of 2024, that might have gotten usurped by these two guys beefing back and forth, you know, Kendrick and Drake, maybe you heard of them, that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we have this single here called He Knows, which, wait, how does it go? Because, like, okay, I was sitting there writing my notes as I was listening to it, trying to think of what I could do to describe the song, but, like, honestly, I got nothing. Like, it's one of the beats of all time. Camilla's performance here is, like, it's not annoying, but it's so average that not annoying is the only compliment I can give it. And, Nas, I expect better from you. Like, dude, this has got to be the most boring thing I've heard from you, like, in this entire song. Like, aside from maybe, like, one or two ad-libs, this entire thing is just kind of in one ear and out the other.
This feels like him just tone down. Like, maybe because when I saw him with her, of all people, like, okay. Like, this is definitely, like, okay. It's like, okay. It's like, here's Samuel Jackson. But you put him in a movie. Put him in a movie where he can't say motherfucker. Sometimes it can be good. Sometimes it'd be like, oh, okay, would you? Yeah, all right. And it's like, oh, he's just here for the paycheck.
Yeah, this is just very, very aggressively mid, and it makes me sad to say that with Nas on here, like.
Yeah.
Don't stoop this low. Don't stoop to this fake hyper-pop garbage.
I refuse to acknowledge this as hyper-pop. The only valid hyper-pop is 100 gecs.
And this was Raisin Bran.
I had my fill of Camilla hearing that stupid I Love It song on those F1 Miami Grand Prix commercials for 2 weeks. I don't want to hear it ever again.
God damn it, Miami. Why do you do this to the world?
Yeah, you may trade up with a better rapper, but it's still boring.
But let's move on from that to something that's at least interesting and has some flavor to it. So, we are talking for our last song here, once again, about Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. Which, come to think, the whole, you know, rap beef thing, I think, well, she did start out this year with Hiss, which, of course, led to a lot of beefs, and, yeah.
Yeah, taking shots everyone, Nicki Minaj's husband, especially. Megan's Law. Yeah. That's still a great line.
And I think that, I don't know if I heard her saying, like, I think that this also was aimed at Drake, which, well, that makes more sense.
The moral of the story is nobody likes Drake.
No.
But that's actually a good point, like, at the very least, because, like, Megan Thee Stallion started this year releasing music, and so far, every song she's come out with has had, like, a snake motif to it. So we had Cobra, we had Hiss, And now we have this new single here. The track is called Boa, and, well, that's actually a bit of a double entendre, because you see, not only is it a continuation of the snake motif, but it's also a reference to the widely popular franchise One Piece, especially in the single artwork where she's cosplaying as the character of Boa Hancock, the snake princess of Amazon Lily, and one of the seven warlords of the sea, the only female member, and back when that existed as an official designation before being disbanded by the world government sometime shortly prior to the Wano arc. You see, as a kid, she was kidnapped by the Celestial Dragons, forced to return home with the help of several figures. Including Monkey D. Luffy.
Stop now.
You know, I was thinking about this the whole time I had this in my notes. Just like, how far can I get through this paragraph before the two of these guys stop me? And I got about halfway through. I didn't even get to mention the stuff like the Impel Down Prison Break or the Marineford arc. Listen, I am a One Piece fanboy. If I have an opportunity to make my knowledge come in handy, I'm going to make it work.
I'll sum up Boa's character as succinctly as possible. Boa Hancock, the number one Luffy simp.
Respectfully. But yeah, so let's get into the song itself, which does have a very nice music video, and not just because there's a lot of skin showing. Respectfully, but also there's this whole like creepypasta thing going on where it's like these three dipshits on like a Discord call having like themselves playing some kind of cursed video game where Stallion Stars, they're all playing and then they all get offed by her as she shows off all her cosplay fits, including I believe Christy from Tekken.
Put her in Tekken 8, you cowards,
please. Like they gotta put in like Christy in the Tekken 8 DLC. Give her a Megan fit.
She was one of my mains in Tekken Tag 2. Come on, people, hop to it.
So in other words, if you're thinking this sounds familiar, kind of, maybe. But somebody playing a video game from the dark web. I don't know why I figured that one movie would stay alive.
I was thinking of it too. That was a terrible movie.
All I remember is that I think Frankie Muniz was in that one.
Yep, he was.
The McPoyle brothers. Or,
oh God, those guys.
Yeah, the guy. He got rid by a horse, or by a fake horse. Yeah. All people like. Now the thing you notice about this song is this is something that sounds familiar. Like there was sort of a sample that she did mention. I'm wondering what could it be. I mean, I know she mentioned anime, then I realized, okay, that stuff did sound familiar. Is that Gwen Stefani?
Yep, there's a Gwen Stefani sample in here.
I was wondering why that's not familiar.
It's like I remember that whole melody. It's like, what you waiting for? That.
Yeah, a lot of fun in there. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'll admit, like, there is some interesting stuff going on. I still think, like, Hiss is probably, like, my favorite of the mega tracks we've gotten so far. But, like, there's definitely, like, some solid hooks up in here. And, you know, definitely Megan brings, like, enough of that attitude to get by through the song. It's always fun to hear her, firing off.
Yes, it's especially with like bitch time and stuff, waiting the clock and now doing shit for TikTok. Yeah, bitch, I'm really hip hop. They don't know my shit. I ain't listening to your shit drop on my diamond dancing. I didn't make no TikTok. Bitch, your time up.
Always good to have that fire spinning on the track. So who knows? I'm still waiting for like what the album is because there's got to be something like. You don't get this many snake themed tracks without something in the. You know, I just realized at this rate, there's a non-zero possibility. Like she might straight up release a song rapping about Metal Gear Solid, Snake.
Well, apparently she's waiting to get some big anime audio clip sample approved. So there's something else coming down sometime soon.
That's what I'm like, okay, what's she gonna sample? Because that's gonna be interesting.
I'm trying to think. Well, I know she's cosplayed from stuff like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, My Hero Academia, One Piece. If I remember correctly, I think in her Hot Ones interview, she had an entire tangent gushing about Black Clover. That would be the odd one out for me. Like, that would be the last thing I expect,
Yeah, it would be it. Because I'll just do some Kaisen since she did dress up as, at the anime one, she dressed up as shit. Gojo? No, what was the other one? I don't know.
I think it was Bruno Bucciarati.
Okay, that, I don't know.
Oh, do you think she's gonna rap over that piano thing from part 5? The
Giorno's theme? Oh boy.
There's an idea. Man,
It could be interesting. Could this rival Kingdom Hearts Key from last year?
Ah, yeah. Escaflowne. Hey, good times. Oh god, what if she raps over the beat from Simple and Clean?
Oh god.
We're just fanboy theorizing at this point, so we should probably move on, especially before I start continuing the Boa Hancock history lesson. By the way, her bounty's like 1.659 billion berries. Anyway, so yeah, that's gonna about do it for the song discussion. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we have a bit of news to talk about here, so stay tuned. And we're back. We have a few news topics to discuss here, the first of which, unfortunately, being a bit of an obituary. So, in the past week, we had unfortunately learned the news that a fairly notable figure in the indie underground rock scenes, producer Steve Albini, had died Tuesday of a heart attack. So, Steve Albini is quite the well-known name in, like, various rock circles, you know, responsible for... well, first of all, as far as his own music, he fronted bands like Shellac and Big Black. As an engineer, he recorded some pretty classic albums like Nirvana's In Utero, Pixie's Surfer Rosa, PJ Harvey's Rid of Me, and quite a lot of others. In fact, something I remember the other day, the very first High on Fire album I ever heard was the record Blessed Black Wings, which I didn't realize until recently even was a Steve Albini-produced record. But for the most part, at least as far as, like, I always, like, sort of knew him, to me, he was always sort of a Twitter guy, so to speak. Like, a cool Twitter guy, don't get me wrong. He was fairly well known for being incredibly critical of the exploitative practices in the music industry, pretty much right up until his last days. So that's pretty much kind of what I always knew him as, like that guy who would fucking talk shit about like Spotify and Apple and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, fuck yeah, man.
Yep, it's all about that. I was just looking through his, you know, discography, like his production credits. There's a lot here. You know, besides, you know, working with Nirvana on In Utero, he worked with, we got Silverfish, we've got Volcano Suns, he did some stuff with Helmets, I'm seeing here PJ Harvey, Jawbreaker, White House, was a lot of big, you know, 90s alternative and indie scene acts going on here. And, from what I found, there was actually another, a final album from Shellac coming out apparently this Friday called To All Train, which will be, well, a posthumous release. Apparently recorded over a span of 5 years, so it's been in the works for a while.
Yeah. So I might have to actually start listening to some of that backlog type stuff, but yeah, it is pretty wild, because, like, he's definitely one of those people that, like, if you were in the know, you knew. Like, all the music people I follow on Twitter were always, like, reposting his stuff, and I'm just like, man, I'm gonna miss that guy. That guy was fucking cool.
Yeah. Just a couple more production credits here. Mouth Theater, The Stooges, 1212, Cheap Trick, and what I consider to be the greatest band name in history, Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
Nice. I also think he worked with Sun-O, which that's an interesting little factoid.
Yep, he did.
Cool stuff. Man, really got around a lot. So, rest in peace, man. Hopefully one day the industry will listen to your criticisms of their bullshit.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully more people will take his advice on festivals to heart, like Lollapalooza. Just in time for that documentary about Lollapalooza to come out on Paramount Plus. Bad timing all around.
Who knows? Maybe times like this, I wish that like ghosts and spirits were unambiguously like 100% known real. Because maybe like Albini can haunt Daniel Ek from beyond the grave.
Not just like, him, but all the venture capitalists who took over GQ Media and Pitchfork.
You guys are fucking chodes. Eat my ass and balls. But, yeah, so rest in peace. Moving on to the next topic here. So, speaking of streaming service specials, looks like HBO and Max are premiering a new concert special, specifically based on Lady Gaga, her 2012 Chromatica Ball Tour. It's going to be premiering Saturday, May 25th, and of course, pretty much the day after, it's going to be on Max. The special was filmed specifically in September of 2022, in front of a sold out crowd of 52,000 people at Dodger Stadium in LA, at least according to this Variety piece here. And of course, Gaga produced the special herself, duh. Bobby Campbell, Live Nation touring chief Arthur Fogel, and even John Janik and Steve Berman from Interscope Records were involved. So, yeah, I mean, I've never actually seen like a Lady Gaga concert. I guess it's probably about as close as I'm ever going to get, unless there was something I missed that she's got dates down here. But, I mean, I'm curious to check this out.
Yep. I'll be checking it out, too, just because I like all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's good to see a big concert event like this happen without any problems whatsoever. Something that really takes its time to really finesse itself into a proper concert-going experience. It is... it's great when that happens. Unlike this last thing here.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounded like a very conspicuous segue. I mean, what the hell else could be happening? Is Fyre Festival 2 still a thing? But yeah, so for this last topic here, y'all hear about this thing called the Blue Ridge Rock Festival? Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think, Alex, were you the one that brought it up last time?
Yeah, because it happens not near me, but closer to me than either of you two. Up in the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina and Virginia, obviously, where the more recent version of this event was a shit show. Literally.
Oh, yeah, that just hit me, because I'm looking at the first paragraph of the Metal Sucks piece here, and it's describing the 2023, well, okay, it's describing a 2021 article about the festival, saying, quote, "A number of festival attendees cited egregious failures from the festival, including failure to check attendees for weapons, failure to follow ADA compliance, and something that became known as, quote, the shit spray incident, in which a burst septic tank sprayed all over the campsite and wasn't prepared for several hours." Okay, so in the one corner we have the shit spray incident, in the other corner we have the Dave Matthews Band tour bus.
Yeah, so last year the event was canceled midway through because of bad weather. However, some local investigative journalism from the CBS affiliate said that nearly 200 stagehands were planning a strike.
Ooh.
Oh, and apparently there was something going on at the event that resulted in, and I quote, gastrointestinal issues following the festival. So either there was a really bad case of cholera going around, or somebody ate some really bad food and it just spread across to everywhere. Although I'm pretty sure it might be cholera or tetanus or, you know, one of those two things.
I don't know. Maybe they were eating the same kind of rotten lamb as President Jimble and Smiling Friends.
Oh, God. It's great to have that show back.
And how. So, if you think, like, the health issues and the festival logistics there were bad, you should have seen what was happening recently, because they were in the middle of, like, the refund process for 2023, because shockingly, when your festival is both a metaphorical and literal shit show, people want their money back.
Yep.
And supposedly, they were trying to sell tickets to a 2024 festival even before they had finished the 2023 refunds. And before even telling the local government about it.
Yeah, just a very, very, very simple business tip. Don't ask for more money when you have to give out money back and you're not done with it. That's not even a business tip. That's just basic life lessons.
It's basically like saying, can I get $5,000? You owe me 10 more. You owe me 10. Please? Ow.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, so they put up a statement, a very PR speak statement saying, oh, you know, we're sorry about all this and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, we don't have to go through it. It's just very basic PR speak. Although they are still planning to run again in 2025, which I would bet against that.
How in the fuck? That is, I don't think hubris is the word. Good lord.
You know, if the people of North Carolina and or Virginia want a festival to go back to, hey, Danny Wimmer, bring Carolina Rebellion back over here. It's been like, I don't know how long it's been since you ran it at the raceway, but we have a better everything than these, you know, bumfucks do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to take your word for it. I don't think I've been to that part of Carolina, but anyway, so yeah, we know now that the 2024 version of the festival is canceled. I feel like if I read the statement, it's going to make me burst a blood vessel, because good lord, the speak, like, you honestly think you're going to float like a 2025 edition? Hell, apparently they're still in the middle of processing refunds for 2023.
Wow.
In fact, let me quote like the last paragraph from this Metal Sucks piece here, specifically from Hala Huntress, credited author on the byline. So somehow the festival is still talking about a potential 2025 edition, which just seems both unlikely and ill-advised at this point. Some of the refunds for 2023 are still being processed. The festival is being investigated to see if they gave attendees intestinal parasites. And need we once again remind you that there was something that became collectively known as the shit spray incident. If Nathan Lane's character from The Producers tried to put on a metal festival, it would run more smoothly than this. Yeah, like, say what you will about Springtime with Hitler, at least that was a complete production. Yeah, good lord. So, yeah, Blue Ridge Rockfest, fuck you. I would wish you good luck, but no. Shit spray incident. Enough said. But, yeah, that pretty much about does it for the news discussions. We only really have one last thing we gotta touch on here, and that is the new album releases for the week of May 17th. 2024. Starting at the top, we have the solo debut of Slayer's Kerry King with From Hell I Rise.
Yeah.
We have a new solo album from Marty Friedman with Drama. We have a new solo project from Slash with Orgy of the Damned. A lot of 80s guitarist solo records this week. Anyway, there's, of course, the new album from Paul Bearer with Mind Burns Alive. Here's a name I haven't thought about in a hot minute. Intervals with a new project called Memory Palace. From Jamie Josta, his latest solo record. And Josta for All.
Oh, you are putting all your chips on that title, huh? Like, it didn't work for Five Finger Death Punch. It probably won't work here either.
Yeah. From Gate Creeper, we have their new album, Dark Superstition. From Combi Christ, we have, well, the album title is Combi Christ Without the Vowels. Kind of a thanks for the memory situation right there. From A Boogie With Da Hoodie, we have a new project, Better Off Alone. From Cage the Elephants, the new album, Neon Pill. From Of Montreal, there's Lady on the Cusp. From New Kids on the Block.
Huh?
Still kids.
Y'all are in your 50s. Shut up.
Good lord. From various artists, there's a soundtrack album called Everyone's Getting Involved, a tribute to Talking Heads' Stop Making Sense. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, the brand new studio album from Billie Eilish with Hit Me Hard and Soft. Well, now it's about time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Still, this show, my other show, we're coming back soon, I promise. Discord, other Discords, and other places, maybe soon, I don't know. But this is in my head, so I'm just going to get it out of here. Do you think I'm better off alone? I had to do that. It's been in my head since I saw that title on the document.
That's fair. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, follow me on Metal Media where you can find me. The show, a website, my hype1.com, where, recently put out another chapter of my story series, the Civilian Kid, which I've been putting off for a while because damn, I knew these things slow. But yeah, new chapter is up. I don't know when I'll be done because I think something else to write. But again, these things take time.
Yes, they do. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sorareresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @sorarereso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, sorareresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server so you can be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up there. So that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. And until next time, happy birthday, Caesar Zeppeli. I miss Caesar, guys.